بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The book we will be doing is called The Final Moments of the Pious by Sheikh al-Hadith Ma Yusuf Mutala rahmatullah. Introduction. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A human being's salvation depends on his state at the time of death. He will enjoy eternal comfort should he be blessed with the gift of a virtuous end, yani al-husn al-khatima. Otherwise, he will taste a boundless punishment. It is for this reason that the noble prophets and the pious servants of the Muslim Ummah constantly feared Allah's attribute of independent, yani as-samad, contemplating as to the state in which their souls will be extracted at the time of death. The character of the pious. Allama Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani rahmatullahi alayhi writes in Ahwal al-Sadiqin that to fear Allah giving one a bad death that will consequently veil him from him in the hellfire and the fire of hell is one of the qualities of the pious. Some of them used to remain so immersed in this anxiety that they didn't even realize who was sitting near them. Whenever Hasan Basri rahimahullah heard the hadith which informs that the last person to leave hell will do so after 1,000 years, he would say, I wish for myself to be that person. Hasan Basri rahimahullah was asked, why do you wish for this? He replied, will he not leave hell eventually, yani at some point? In other words, there will undoubtedly be those who will forever remain in hell, whereas this person is better than them. There is a chance of me being one of them, something I dislike. That is why I pray for myself not to be amongst those who remain there and forever, but to be from those who will one day depart, even if that person is the very last one to leave, as he will at least be safe from this ordeal. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah would say, whoever becomes content on his religion, Allah will make him take the repercussions of his fearlessness. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he used to say, the faith, the iman of most people is seized at the time of death. This is because shaitan digs deep and thus totally uses up his strength to lead astray. Very few survive his tricks. Allahumma hafazna minhu. May Allah safeguard us from him. Astonishment of the angels. Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi says, when the angels ascend the skies with the soul of a believer who died as a Muslim, they say in astonishment, how did he escape the deception of the world? Rabi ibn al-Kuthaym rahimullah says, the soul of a person exits in the state that used to be the predominant state before death. To support this point, he mentions a story. I visited someone experiencing the pains of death. Whenever I would instruct him to repeat La ilaha illallah, that there is no deity, there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, he would begin to calculate the amounts of money his debtors owed him and so forth. Mutrif ibn Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi says, I do not feel astonished at those who end up being spiritually destroyed, but I feel astonished at those who slipped the net and survived at the time of death. As it is not difficult to lose faith while living in this world, but it's difficult to safeguard it. Therefore, the biggest gift from Allah Most High to one is to be granted death on Islam. Death on faith is a big blessing. Zayd ibn Aslam rahimullah, he used to say, if death was in my hands while making Islam my friend, I would have caused my lower self, yani my nafs, to taste the flavor of death. It is not in my hands, hence I am helpless. Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah cried so much on one occasion that he fainted. A servant asked him the cause of it. He said, we used to lament and cry over our sins before, but now we cry on the thought of whether or not our Islam will be safeguarded. He used to say, at times a person is worshipping idols, but he is destined to be from the auspicious in Allah's Most High's knowledge. And then there is that individual who is so and very obedient to him, but he is destined to be from the wretched in Allah's knowledge. The hadith states how some people strive for paradise to the extent that remaining between them and paradise is only the distance of a handspan. Yet whatever Allah Most High has predetermined dictates in such a way that he abandons the deeds set to enter him into paradise for those that lead to hell. Benefits of worrying about the hereafter. Yahya ibn Ma'ad rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, taking heed causes astonishing wisdoms to emanate from the treasures of the heart of a believer. A person then hears talk from him that the sages or the pious approve of, before which the scholars lower their heads, jurists displayed amazement, and literates hastened towards, eager to learn. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, says, fear and sorrow in a believer is according to his light, his nur of foresight. His fear and sorrow will be to the extent which he possesses this light of foresight. Muhammad ibn al-Wasi, of Wasi rahmatullahi alayhi's face, due to the intensity of his sadness, would look like that of the mother who had lost her child. Its effect was such that the harshness of the heart of anyone seeing him in that state would transfer into gentleness. He would advise one out to seek companionship or take as their sheikh or their peer that individual who at first look, before any words are shared, comes across as someone who is more advanced in religion than him and has the capacity to be one. Wahab ibn al-Ward rahmatullahi alayhi would say, Allah, via revelation, told Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, wash your heart. He asked, O Allah, how can I achieve that as water cannot reach it? The command derived, the heart is not washed with water, but with grief and sorrow. You should express extreme grief and sadness and sorrow on things from me which you have not fulfilled or have fear of not fulfilling in the future, and with it wash your heart and burn it. Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullahi alayhi would say, just as the source of the bodily illness is bodily diseases, similarly the origin of ailments of the heart is sin. Allah has provided a remedy for every malady, and that is why He has created remedies for the ailments of the heart too. They are sorrow and fear. When one becomes complacent due to his sins, when one becomes fearful due to his sins, his tears will be transferred from his eyes to his heart, whereby he will lament through his heart rather than his eyes, which will lead to his spirits being raised and good health will return. Your beard has turned white. Why don't you apply hair dye? Someone asked him. He replied, applying hair dye would be considered adornment, whereas we are in the state of mourning day and night. What has adornment got in common with mourning? The patient of love. Ensure he does not become cured. The patience of love. Ensure he does not become cured. Bishr ibn al-Harith rahmatullahi alayhi was asked, why is it that we see you in a constant state of sadness? He replied, I am someone for whom the king has issued an arrest warrant concerning claims of governmental and non-governmental matters. He has yet not been called to answer. Hence, fears as to what would be the outcome of many charges against him, and it is therefore necessary for him to remain sad and remorseful. He would also say, every affliction sooner or later ends, other than that caused by sins, which is revived on every breath taken. The cause of sorrow brought upon one by other perpetrations eventually ends or becomes a distant memory, resulting in the sorrow to end as well. Whereas the sadness caused by sin, it grows in strength as time elapses. This is because death and its trial is getting nearer at all the time, thus making it necessary to grow on every breath drawn near. Sayyidina Ali ibn Talib radiallahu ta'ala would cry and lament. Beasts, birds and fish will find tranquility after they die. But I will not find tranquility even after I die. I will be imprisoned due to my deeds instead. Hatib ibn Jalil rahmatullahi alayhi's practice was such that whenever everyone would rejoice, he on the day of Eid would assemble his wider family and sit and weep together. Someone asked him, why is it that the whole world rejoices on Eid, but you weep? He replied, I am a servant of Allah who has been ordered by Allah to obey Him and refrain from sin. Yet, I do not know if I have fulfilled the requirements of His command and prohibition. How can I be happy? Celebrating on Eid befits those who have no concern for the hereafter. The audience of fear not and grieve not. On the verse, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا, fear not and grieve not, Hatil ibn al-Asam rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, fear and sorrow will be no more for those who feared sin and sank in sorrow in the worldly life. That then leaves those who committed sin, expressed no remorse, were boastful and walked with a strut. They will not be of those who will not fear, no display sorrow. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala would say, it is not appropriate for one to express joy until he passes the bridge over hell, yani the sirat, the bridge of sirat. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam appeared before me, he looked terrified and shook in awe of Allah. Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullahi alayhi would say, Allah made Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam his friend, yani his khalil, because he feared him considerably. This resulted in people hearing his heartbeat from afar. Musa ibn Mas'ud rahmatullahi alayhi would say, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimullah's dread and weeping and wailing when we sat with him would make us feel as though we were surrounded by fire. Fudayl ibn Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi would say, there even exist those servants of Allah whose hearts become scattered only to unite afterwards upon remembering the magnificence of their Lord. This process would repeat itself until they passed away. He would say that the fear of Allah in a person is according to his knowledge, his level of knowledge or ma'rifat of him. Ibrahim al-Harith rahimullah would not raise his gaze towards the heavens in fear and shame, as the heavens are the direction, qibla of supplication, and gazing towards it would be gazing towards Allah. It has been reported that on occasions fear would overcome Sufyan al-Thawri, Malik ibn Dinar, and Fudayl ibn Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi ajma'in in a fashion that they would begin walking without knowing in what direction they were heading. The reality of fear. Imran al-Husayn rahmatullahi alayhi would, in a state of fear, say, by Allah, I wish to be turned into ashes and the wind blows me away with force. Ishaq ibn Khalaf rahimahullah used to say, fear does not mean that man sits crying and wiping his tears. True fear is that a person abandons those actions regarding which he fears punishment. Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah would say, as I read, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut, every soul shall taste death repeatedly. A caller called out, for how long will you repeat this verse? You have killed 4,000 jinn by praying it. When they heard this verse, in awe of Allah, they could not raise their gaze to the heavens and their bodies became cold there in them. Fudayl ibn Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi spent the day of Arafah and the plain of Arafah holding his blessed beard until sunset and lamenting, because of the blessing of the pilgrimage of Hajj, even though my sins have been erased, I still have regret and remorse over it. Whenever Hammad ibn Zayd rahmatullahi alayhi would sit, he would always squat, crouch down very low and sit on the heels, and would not sit comfortably. When asked about this, he replied, only that person who is concerned about the punishment from his Lord can sit comfortably. Not for one moment am I assured that Allah's punishment will not descend upon me. How can I then sit comfortably? Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahmatullahi alayhi would say, were it not for Allah's greatness, the entire creation would have perished because of his fear. Imagine the fear of Allah from that alone. That is why you should have awareness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the truth to all those with eyes. Malik ibn Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi's state of fear was such that he would say, I have made a firm intention to instruct my family that when I die, place me in the grave, bound me in chains and irons, copy the treatment handed out to a blameworthy slave who has absconded from his master, who has run away from his master. Now you people tell me that, after becoming deserving of hell and ruin, with what face do you give yourself hope of entering paradise and deriving pleasure from the whores and the palaces therein? Fudayl ibn Iyad rahmatullahi alayhi would say, by Allah, neither do I envy any prophet nor an intimate angel since they will all experience the trepidation of the Day of Judgment and will be affected by it according to their status. But I envy those who have not been born yet, as they have no connection whatsoever with the unease of the hereafter. I too wish that I would not have involved myself in the trepidation of the Day of Judgment. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullahi alayhi says, a person should be such that he is from the extremely esteemed people in the eyes of Allah, but the most inferior in the creation in his own eyes, and of an intermediate level in the eyes of the creation. In summary, a person's behavior should be such that he does not disobey Allah at all, resulting in a status before Allah, elevating while at the same time considering himself the most inferior from the creation. His behavior towards others should be such that they do not label him corrupt, nor should he strive for them to say he is good. Allah knows best. Farqad al-Sanji rahmatullahi alayhi would say, 500 virgin girls entered Bayt al-Maqdis. a scholar from the people of the book, yani Ahl Kitab. There are related some stories of the hereafter to them, which resulted in all of them dying at the same time. They had abandoned the world, yani Tariq al-Dunya. They were sackcloth, a feature of the devout Zahid at the time. The Shaykh of Ata' al-Salami, rahmatullahi alayhi sphere. Ata' al-Salami, rahimallah, would supplicate in this manner. O Allah, I request you to forgive and excuse me. He would not have the courage to beseech, O Allah, enter me into paradise. He will feel ashamed to do so because of his deeds. Such was his fear. Farkad al-Sanji rahmatullahi alayhi says, we once visited Ata al-Salami rahimallah and found him lying down with his cheek touching the ground in the sun. Upon observing him closely, we saw an uninterrupted trail on his cheek formed by tears. They had just rolled down and settled, thus becoming mud and dirt on meeting the ground. His habit was to wipe off and scatter the tears here and there so that people would assume that it was a trail of water used in ablution and not tears. We became aware that he hadn't raised his gaze towards the sky for 40 years. He once inadvertently looked towards the sky and then collapsed on his stomach. This fall consequently tore something in his stomach. He fell ill as a result and died in this illness. When someone from his city faced an affliction, he would say, it is a burden due to my sins. Had I left this place, this affliction would not have descended upon these poor souls. He would, at night time, pass his hands over his body, lest it had been deformed as a consequence of his sin. He would say, we were once traveling with Utba al-Alam. When we reached a particular point, and upon seeing it, he fell unconscious to the ground. Upon regaining consciousness, he said, this is the place where I disobeyed Allah before reaching the age of maturity. This happened when he and his murids and his followers had already performed the Isha and Fajr prayer with the same ablution for 40 years. Their bodies had failed and the color of their skin had changed. They had become like watermelon peels. From this, one can understand the level of fear they had. Some of our predecessors, yani the Salaf, would lose consciousness weeping, while others would weep as though they were crying upon a dead body before drawing their last breath in that state.